Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? You're not going to bite.
What have you done? Where are we?
Greetings from the Humongous, the Lord Humongous, the warrior of the wasteland, the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller!
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
I am gravely disappointed.
Thomas, keep the gun on him. He's definitely a criminal.
From the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and yesterday, it's the real Retro Radio Live.
Take your stinking paws off me, you dirty ape.
Be prepared. We're in modulation mode. Get ready for takeoff.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya. We got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
All right, Retro Radio Live. I'm Eric Danger Nine Heist.
And I'm Marilyn Gigliotti.
And I'm Derek Mackey.
And I'm Sheila Maijo.
We've got a full house tonight.
Yeah, we do.
And we've got
Alberto Garcia.
What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Now, you know he's got candy in his mouth, right?
Oh, my God.
What would your mother say about the candy?
You wait. She's going to listen to this show, and she's going to smack him.
I know. I know. Jeez. Can't bring these kids anywhere these days. How was your day?
It was fantastic.
I watched your show. I love it.
Did you like
it? I did, actually.
I'm sorry. I was packing. I didn't get to see anything.
No, it's all good. We have to go home and pack because we're leaving tomorrow.
A good thing that we're on radio and they can't see.
See how crazy? I could be sitting here in like my boxing shorts or with an ice pack on my eye. Nobody knows, you know what I mean?
I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about how I look, you know, when I'm after.
We all look marvelous, darling. Marvelous. So you had a good show, man.
We did.
That was great. Yeah.
We're getting to be old pros, I think. That was our 11th?
11th, yeah. Our 11th show.
You know what would be kind of cool if you guys did it like stool style, like the old Kathy Lee, Regis Philbin style?
Yeah, if I had a set big enough, maybe.
Oh, I know. You guys all squished together, huh?
Set there, yeah.
You know, we've got to get you a wider lens on that camera.
Yeah.
And it's a great camera.
Well, I need money to do that.
Money, shmoney.
We have a whole list of things we'd like to do if we had money.
That stool's ain't on the top of that list, huh?
No.
Well, we tried it tonight with the fire, and John and I fried.
I was watching you guys boil to death. I'm like, holy cow.
I told him. He never listens to me.
Well, I didn't think it was going to get that hot.
Dude, you guys look like you lost about 4 pounds. I lost like 5 pounds just watching you guys. Yeah, I'm like, totally. Holy cow. Did you get my text messages?
No, because the phone was off. We got them in the car on the way over here.
Oh, that's very funny. Yeah. That's very funny. So you had a good show, man. That's hot.
It was great.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you know, I had another good show today.
Okay.
I was actually promoting this show, Retro Radio Live.
You can't beat it.
On a, what?
No, you can't beat that.
No, you can't.
You can't beat that.
You can't do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. Listening for your show.
Hey, man.
I was on a talk show this morning called Actors. No, I'm going to screw it up and they're going to hate me. ActorsReporter.com.
Okay.
They have a show almost similar to ours.
Okay.
It's a talk show format, hour long, and they interview, but it's specifically geared towards people in the business to better their careers and stuff like that. But when you come on, they're like, push whatever you want.
Okay.
So I pushed Cool Waters Live, and of course, they'll still anything else. And I'm like, well, as a matter of fact, I'm producing this radio show, and oh, really? Wow. And so I mentioned your guys' names.
Awesome.
I mentioned the website.
Wow. Thank you, man.
So we are getting advertising everywhere for everybody's gigs.
You know what? We got on the Irwin Allen website today with Lost in Space.
Sweet.
The Mark and Dart interview was so good last night.
It really was.
Yeah, we had Lawrence Hilton Jacobs on today from Welcome Back, Carter. We talked for over an hour. He's just insane. We have such a great lineup coming to San Diego.
We do. Did you get the list?
Yeah, I did. I was like, holy cow.
I was like, oh my God, that's huge.
Yep. So we can't name drop yet.
Not yet. we need to finalize.
Yeah, we totally got to like figure out the time schedules, dude.
Yes.
Because I don't feel be sitting on other people's laps just trying to get something signed.
I wanted to ask him. It's like, wait a minute. Where's everybody going?
Yeah, because we have four guys too. So, well, yeah.
Everybody has to share.
I'm always down for sharing.
Because we want as many fans coming to the booth anyway. So
no, absolutely. Yeah. We always have room for one more. You notice that?
I did notice that, yeah.
So we always keep one extra mic on just in case. You never know. You never, never know with these things.
Indeed.
Great. So how was your day?
It's all about packing.
Wow.
Moving over the weekend.
Wow. So we came up at the beginning of the week, and Derek has taken the reins on this. And we're going to see how good it really is. And I've got really strong faith. We're going to do a game show segment. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're doing?
We are. We are going to give away a carryover from our show. We had actor John Alexander on our show tonight.
From Hellboy
John,
2?
From Hellboy 2.
Cool.
He played Johann Kraus, the Bethmore Goblin.
Okay.
He was also in a slew of other films. Now, we need to push his part. He was in Mighty Joe Young. He played the gorilla. Mm-hmm. He was in Gorillas in the Mist with Sigourney Weaver. He played the silverback.
Right.
If you're not getting this, he is a suit performer. I mean, he's done stuff on stage, and you've seen his face in films as well, but
sure.
His big thing is suit performing. He did Men in Black. He did
Mikey,
which is a fantastic character.
Absolutely.
And in Men in Black 2, he did Jara, the bad guy that Will Smith fights.
That has a whole bunch of little guys with him.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Oh, wow. So the man has a massive resume, and he's been acting forever.
Right. Uh-huh.
So tonight we had him on the show, and we asked him when we shut our show down. I said, "Look, John, I'm heading over to my new show with Eric and Marilyn, and we've got to give some stuff away." And he was, "Absolutely." So I have with me. You can't see them out there. This is what I hate about radio, but I do have a Johann Kraus autographed photo
from Hellboy. That's great. Wow,
okay,
that
from
is
Hellboy
cool.
2, and I also have a Bethmore Goblin autographed.
Oh, that's very cool.
A Retro Radio Live, two listeners from Retro Radio Live are about to win these.
That's hot.
Right
now.
Or
so
when Eric says go.
Okay, so what's the show?
Here's what we're going
to
do.
Because I got people getting ready to call.
Good. Every week,
yeah,
Sheila,
somebody call.
Right. Every week, Sheila and I come up with a different game for our show.
Okay.
And we figured in honor of where John comes from, because he's from the UK.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sheila came up with this fantastic game that we did on our show.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And she's gonna. Oh, dear. My phone went off. I forgot to shut it off.
I'm
so sorry. And what we're going to do, I'm going to let Sheila explain the rules. Like, maybe we should take this phone call first.
Okay.
Here we go.
Retro Radio Live. Who's this?
This is Super Dave from New York.
Hey, Super Dave, you ready to play this show? We're gonna play a game. It's a trivia game, and I'm gonna put our game show man of the hour, the Tower of Power, the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla, Derek Mackey, on the phone. He's gonna tell you what you could win if you get the questions right. Okay.
All right.
All right. Hold on.
Okay. So who is this again?
This is Super Dave from New York.
Super Dave from New York. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, fantastic. So listen, boss, I'm here with my co-host from my web show. Her name is Sheila Maijo, and she's going to explain the rules of the game so that you can win a John Alexander signed 8x10, okay?
That's awesome.
All right.
All right, so because John is from the UK, we decided to have a little fun with some rhyming slang. And what that is a slang that was developed over the years in London, wherein you use one word to indicate another, and the word usually rhymes, word or phrase. For example, if you were to say plates of meat, you'd be talking about your feet. So I'm going to ask three questions.
I think this kid's going to be in Barney in a minute.
Yes, exactly. That's a perfect example. Barney, Barney Rubble. Rubble rhymes with trouble. So if you're going to be in Barney, you're going to be in trouble.
So Dave, do you get the concept here?
A little.
Look, here okay. let me put this to you in simple terms, okay? If you were an American and you went to London and you heard a Londonite say one of these phrases that Sheila's about to say to you, it would actually mean something to a Londonite. All you have to do is say whether the phrase she's about to say is made up by our team or if it's a true phrase that they actually use in London. It's true or false.
Okay, so she's going to say a quote or a phrase, and I'm going to tell her if that's an actual phrase or not.
If it means what I say it means. Yes, true or false. That's all you have to decide.
That's easy enough.
Okay? All right. Number one, a syrup is something that you wear on your head. True or false?
Can you repeat that? A syrup?
Syrup. S-Y-R-U-P. Is something that you wear on your head.
I'm going to say true.
That is correct.
Yeah, it is true. Good. Yeah, that's why.
Score. Awesome. See that? You have no idea, and you're already winning.
All right.
Now, you know what a syrup is? For all the listeners out there, we have to tell them what it actually is. If I was a Londonite, and I was sitting with Sheila at a bar, and I would look across the room and go, wow, look at that guy's head. That syrup's really bad. It would mean a wig or a toupee is
That's
what
funny.
It actually means.
A toupee.
So yeah. There, you've just you're on your way to winning an 8x10, and you're getting an education at the same time. How are you feeling
like
there, Dave?
That's awesome.
All right, are you ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
Okay.
All righty. If someone asks you to Adam and Eve, they are asking you to vacate the premises. True or false?
Ooh, that makes sense to me, but then that scares me. True.
What was that?
Adam and Eve. Can I see someone saying that?
Someone would ask you to Adam and Eve.
Like, in other words, Dave, if you were at a pub in London and you were acting really rowdy, the bartender might say, no, Adam and Eve.
He's giving you false.
I'm sure. Because I'm looking at the answer. Look, okay, she's saying if someone says to you, Adam and Eve, it means to leave. Is that true or false?
True.
Okay, he misled you completely. I apologize, but it is false. Adam and Eve rhymes with believe. He was misdirecting you. That's awful.
But you're still technically winning. You're still technically winning.
You're getting some bad advice there, Dave.
Oh,
look,
wow.
I'm gonna shut up on the next one. Because I really want you to win this 8x10. Now, Sheila's going to ask you one more, okay? And you need to say true or false, and I'm not going to say a word.
All right. If you want to butt in with the answer, that's okay.
Oh, I see how it works now.
Oh,
okay,
those New Yorkers, huh?
Listen in. Here we go.
Alrighty. If you ask someone about their trouble and strife, you are asking how they are doing.
Trouble and strife?
Yes.
Trouble can mean, I guess, their downfall.
I'll give you a hint. The last word is the one we're rhyming. Strife.
You said stripes?
S-T-R.
Strife.
Strife. As in trouble and strife. As in S-T-R-I-F-E. As in, oh, it still sounds weird.
Oh, man, I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
It's F as in Frank. Strife. True or false?
Don't think too much about it. I said I wasn't going to chime in, but just go with your gut feeling.
I'm going to have to say true.
It is false.
Oh!
I actually guess that would be true,
too.
It means wife.
Oh.
Yeah. Trouble and strife means wife.
See, we made this game too hard, I think.
Yeah, I know.
So you know what, Dave? Just because I feel absolutely horrible because I misled you on the second one, and because this game is extremely hard, we're going to send you a signed John Alexander photo anyway, because you were on playing. How's that sound?
That's awesome.
And you know what? I'm going to go one further. I've got two in front of me. I've got one of him as Johann Krauss from Hellboy 2, and I've got one as the Bethmore Goblin. Which one do you want?
The Goblin.
Okay, Goblin is coming to David.
Make sure that he Facebooks. Okay.
Dave, thank you so much for playing. Why don't you Facebook us your information, and we'll make sure we get that out to you first thing in the morning.
I will Facebook you guys right now, and thank you so much for letting me play. That was an awesome game.
Yeah, man, thanks for playing. You know what? Once a week, we're going to have a different game where you can win T-shirts, all different autographs, passes to conventions, a whole bunch of fun stuff. So just keep listening to the show. All right there, Booster?
Absolutely, man. I'll keep listening. Thank
all
you
right, you got
again.
Any shout-outs you want to give out?
Just a Fight Zone and a few guys over in New York. That's
okay.
That's about it. Robbie the Nose, and that's it.
All right, well, thank you for calling.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, that was kind of hard.
It worked on a video show.
With a Brit.
Because we can look really stupid.
Right.
And people laugh at us, and then, of course, John was there to defend the whole thing. So I think, you know what, to give away the other picture, what we should do.
No, we have another caller. Oh.
No, I know, but to give it away,
yes.
Do we want to continue with this, or should we do something else?
You want to do something else?
We can do something else.
Okay.
Let's see what this caller wants to do.
Hello, Retro Radio Live. Who's calling?
Hi, it's Q.
Hi,
Q.
How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing great.
We're actually hosting a Derek Mackey-influenced game show tonight, and we're going to put him and his TV co-star on the phone with you to discuss the rules of the game. And if you win, you actually win an autographed 8x10.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that cool? So hold on 1 second, and here's Derek.
Hold on.
All right, it's Q?
Yes.
Hey, Q. Is it like Q as in Star Trek Q?
Or James Bond.
James nice. Bond, even
right.
better.
Or how about Q-Bert?
Right, I know.
Or Q-Bert the game. You know what? I love it. So, Q, listen. We have one more 8x10 autograph photo from John Alexander, the actor who was in Hellboy 2. Okay, and I'd like to give this to you, but in order to give it, we're gonna play the rest of this game. Are we gonna go along with the rest of the game? We might as well. We've got it set up.
Yeah. You know.
So right. listen, Q. This is very difficult to play, so you need to focus. John Alexander is actually from the UK. Okay, and my co-host here, Sheila Maijo, she has come up with some. What are they called?
Rhyming slang,
which is like terminology that they use, the Brits use over there in the UK, okay, because they're wacky. And basically, it's a true or false thing. So Sheila is going to say a phrase to you, and she's going to give you a definition, and you're going to say whether the definition is true or the definition is false. If you get 2 out of 3 right, you're going to get this 8x10. How's that sound?
Okay.
Okay. Have you ever been to London?
Yes.
It's oh, okay.
Then nice. you might know some of these. You never know.
Maybe. We'll see.
All right. So here we go.
All righty. Okay. Number one, if you were to order a Nelson in a pub, you would expect to get a beer.
True or false?
Oh, true.
Absolutely. Nelson stands for Nelson Mandela, which rhymes with Stella Artois.
Yay.
Are you getting... Did you get that, Q? Like,
I totally got that.
She got it. See, this is the second time I'm playing the game, and I've been to London many times, and I still have no idea. Okay, Q, you're on a roll. You've got 1 point. You only need one more to win. Are you ready for the next one?
Bring it.
All right.
All righty. If someone asks you to have a butcher's, they would like you to look at something.
False.
It's actually true.
Oh.
Butcher's hook equals look. All right.
Okay, you've got one more chance now. Don't sweat it. Don't all sweat right. it. One more chance.
Don't choke. Don't sweat it.
Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
All righty. When someone asks you if you've seen the latest Wind and Kite, they may be referring to a boxing match.
Wind and Kite.
This is a more modern one.
You know what? Let's give her. You know what? Can I intervene?
Yeah. Yes.
Give her the example. Here, let me talk to her.
Okay. Here.
Did you see Ocean's 11?
Yes.
Do you remember when Don Cheadle says, "Hey, we're in Barney Rubble"?
Yeah.
Okay. What did that mean?
Trouble.
Right. That's the game that we're playing.
Alright.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
See, alrighty. We needed Eric to explain it.
Yeah. No, I got it.
Oh, you didn't
but
get
I'm
it.
I don't really see where Wind and Kite. Okay, can you tell it to me one more time?
Yes.
When someone asks you if you've seen the latest Wind and Kite, they may be referring to a boxing match. Remember, we're trying to rhyme the word kite.
Oh, fight. Okay, so true.
It's actually false because I was misleading you.
See, you misled me.
What you doing misleading our guests?
It was a trick question. It could mean more than
okay.
one thing.
It's
it,
okay. I'll forgive you for lying for misleading
me.
Oh.
Well, it was supposed to be difficult. I couldn't give it away. It means a website.
Website.
Yes.
Wind and Kite means
look,
website.
Q,
that
doesn't don't
make any sense at all.
It doesn't, and I am with you. Believe me. Don't feel bad, okay? When we did this earlier on our live web show, I screwed up so badly because I had no clue, and as I said, I've been to London. So again, because we've misled listeners. Now, don't everyone who's listening right now, I have to point out, don't get used to this.
Yeah.
I'm being generous tonight, okay? We're going to give Q the other 8x10.
Oh, that's
because
cool.
we have to, but in the future, when we play these games, the listeners have to play. We're going to make the games a little easier, but the listeners actually have to win. None of this being nice thing.
That's very
Eric's
cool.
ready to jump across the table here, but Q, you rocked.
Absolutely.
Yes, you did.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, complain. You were nice to me. You gave me a present. Thank you.
See that? You can't beat free gifts. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
And so we need to make sure that Q, I'm sure she's still listening, she needs to Facebook us her information, her
Absolutely.
Address and all that, so we can actually ship out the 8x10.
That's not a problem. We now, oh, she's online right now.
Ooh. Nice. She definitely wants the prize.
Oh, man.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, this is not fair. They can see the computer screen and we can't.
She's talking about us, isn't
she's
she?
She's totally ditching us, isn't
no,
she?
No, she's talking to me.
Oh.
She's my greatest not fan. Yeah. Okay, so this segment was brought to you by
Cool Waters Productions LLC, www.coolwatersprods.com.
Sweet. And
getting quick with that, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And
stylingonline.com.
And what does Styling Online do?
They sell these retro shirts that are pretty cool looking, I have to say.
You can't beat that.
No.
And check us out Monday through Thursday. We'll be back next week with Derek Mackey. You going to come back next week and hang with us?
Sure.
Awesome. This is going to be a really good show after all, you know that?
Before you know it, we're going to have the neighbors across the street
I'm telling
over
you.
Here. We're going to get the people down at Carl's Jr. to come over and be on the show.
Hey, man,
that'd be fun.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to take you guys out with some Patrick Swayze. You like Patrick Swayze?
Absolutely.
I love Patrick.
I know.
He
went out like a man's man. He went out like a man's man. Yes, you can't beat Patrick Swayze for going out the way he did. He was smoking cigarettes, and they're like, shouldn't you quit smoking? He was like, why? I'm dead anyway. I'm like, man, that guy's, that's a man's man. You know, I don't endorse cigarette smoke. I smoke myself, and I shouldn't. I'm probably the only one in this room that does.
Yeah.
I'm on my road to quitting, though. Sucked on enough Tic Tacs to kill myself. But, yeah, we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Thank you so much for coming down.
Well, thank you for
thank
having
you.
Us.
Absolutely. And again, the next show, we might be giving away T-shirts, 8x10s, passes to conventions,
ooh,
and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. We'll be
pretty
back.
Nice.
With reverb. So, no, it's not that. It's not.
Ah,
so, we're back. I've got tendonitis in both my arms, and I took a muscle relaxer last night, and today I'm like...
And that's the good thing that this is radio.
Oh,
because
man.
Because we're both looking pretty haggard.
I'm looking like I got dragged through glass. But you know what? I got one of my favorite actors on today, Lawrence Hilton Jacobs from Welcome Back, Carter.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? Wizard World is coming.
Right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs will be at Wizard in Chicago, which would be nice. And we got a really nice email from them today, which I really always appreciate hearing back from them.
Oh, what did we get? I don't know.
Well, I'm not to show you off the air.
Okay.
But, again, we've got Lawrence Hilton Jacobs on today. And For a lot of people that are not aware or have been staring at the sun for too long, we are sponsored by Stylin' Online, the number one t-shirt, retro t-shirt company in the world.
There you go.
Wow. Want to give a shout out to all of our peeps down in the Philippines.
Yes. Can you believe 31 people, 31 downloads?
We have 31 fans.
In the Philippine area.
We love the Philippines. We should come down there, do some arnis, some eskrima.
And as of this morning,
yes,
we have moved up.
We are up to number 7 in the world.
Yes.
As far as podcasting goes. I think that's great. I mean, our hard work's starting to show a little bit. We're still not number 1, but I am so grateful to everybody that listens to the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Everybody on our Facebook, you know you listened and you're enjoying the show. I want to give a shout out to my mom, who finally found some time to listen to the show and loves it. Your daughter, who's in New Jersey, still loves the show.
Yes. And I don't know who else out there, but if you're listening, you know, please what? Send me a comment on Facebook, and I love you for it.
All the peeps in the warehouse over at Stylin' Online listen to the show. Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Eric. What's up, peeps? I know you guys are working hard in that warehouse. So we are just we're just all over the place. We got Derek Mackey on the show today. Good old Derek. I love Derek. I love me some Derek Mackey. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs and... I guess when we come back, we're just we're gonna start the show off right. Well, I mean, everyone wants to hear Lawrence, and then I don't know.
Play some music.
I'll play some music. You know what? I'll play a song, and you got to tell me. You know what? If you could tell me who sings this,
me?
Yeah, you. I'll give you a big prize.
Okay.
All right.
Dreaming of you, trouble speaking, trouble thinking of you, something strange has happened, I just can't together. No kind of way for you. You must have put a spell on my mind. There was a time I blamed everybody for my unhappiness. Easily discouraged from my lack of courage. The life I led was a mess. So many people today feel the same way, trapped with nowhere out. But the words of a poet to thine own self be true. Don't be the thing. Yourself a break, baby, before it's too late.
Right, we are back, Retro Radio Live. Not often does Hollywood actually come out with something that truly inspires anyone. And Eric Monty, one of the great television writers, Eric Monty, had wrote Cooley High.
Uh-huh.
And on the phone we have Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. Mr. Jacobs, how are you, sir?
Good, man. How you holding, dude?
Man, I am hectic today. I'll be the first one.
Those days, man. It's all good.
Man, I'll be the first
you
one to
me
balance.
Out hearing that song in the background.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You like that song?
I heard it once or twice in my life.
Yeah, I was rocking it in the car.
Tripped me out, man. One of my granddaughters, man. She plays that thing off of YouTube to death.
Oh, are you serious?
She's a trip.
Well, that's so funny.
That's a good thing that she does, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's seven. You know, she's about to be eight, and she's my greatest fan, my agent, and my lawyer, and everything.
Oh, man. Does she have like a little stance up in front of the house with a can like Lucy from Charlie Brown?
No, it's all good, man.
It is. I actually, you know, it's so funny. I always do my homework, man, because I hate being one of those fanboys, you know. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with fans, believe me, but. I really
I'm
wanted.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, man, for some reason.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you maybe a little bit now. Hmm?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I wanted to really make this an in-depth interview because I really enjoyed.
You obviously did your research. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. You know what? I called your niece. Oh, your granddaughter.
Well, you know, she can fill you in.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, you know, and again, when we had met, Ernest had explained to you how big of a fan of Cooley High I was. And as I started watching a little more interviews with you, it seems like everybody's a fan of that
Cooley
movie.
Cooley High is just one of those kind of movies that I don't care when you see it. Of course, I've seen it 4.5 million times, but you just kind of get into it, and it's kind of was innocent and fun, and it was a time, you know. It was an era that we certainly all have gone through. I certainly lived that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, just the nostalgic part because I actually grew up in Harlem, New York.
Where?
I was very young. My mother actually started the first Maria Montessori schools in Harlem.
Really? On what street? Do you remember?
You know what? I'm going to have to ask my mother.
That's all right. Because I was born and raised in New York City, so you know I know that.
Right. Well, we eventually moved to Paterson, New Jersey from Harlem.
Okay, I know that well.
Yeah. And I was born at St. Joseph's Hospital. And
there you go.
We ended up moving into Newark, New Jersey. And then
as they call it, the NARC. NARC, New Jersey.
NARC. Yeah. Now it's Brick City.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's Brick City. But, yeah, Marilyn and both myself and you are all from the East Coast. I enjoy talking to East Coast people because we seem to get it. You know, do you think growing up in New York, it helped you cut your teeth for Hollywood a little bit better?
You know something? You know, you always hear that old story. If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. But New York is a very in-your-face-to-the-point town. I prefer it like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd rather just be straight up and to it.
Right.
And New York, just on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I went to New York, the last visit was last summer, and I had been away for a while, and I forgot when you're walking down the street, if you don't move, somebody will walk over you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get to the rhythm, you know?
Oh, yeah, and let 20 people, like, let them right in the door.
Oh, man. So New York, it gets you ready.
Hmm? You know what I love about New York? Every block can inspire you to do something else with your life.
I call it phase of blocks.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It's a phase of blocks. Every block you go in, you hear a complete new culture, maybe a language you've never heard before. You smell the different foods. It's really alive.
And you know what's so funny? Because I've been in L.A. I'm not an L.A. person. I moved to San Diego in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. But I'm not very inspired by Los Angeles. And I don't like having those Starbucks meetings. And, you know,
right. Isn't it tired?
Oh, man. I'm starting to lose some weight from Starbucks, man.
Okay, let's go to Starbucks and get some latte, some nonsense, and sit around and talk baloney. Yeah?
Oh, my God. And then sit around and wait for the phone to ring after that. Now, I'm not beat for that, man. I hit the ground running here, and everybody's like, oh. You actually
California,
got
or at least the show business of California, is definitely a terminal pending town.
Yeah.
So there you go.
No, absolutely. How did the character of Cochise translate from like going to school in New York? Did that
you
help
know,
at all?
In a sense, you know, just growing up with my buddies that I was real tight with, you know, Dwayne, who I still am in touch with, Bobby, and Alonzo, who unfortunately passed on. But we were the four guys that were real tight. You know, all of our lives. So I had my little clique of dudes, and when we did a lot of those things, like even riding on the back of the buses and sneaking in the subways, that was me.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and I was out there. We didn't even know how to pay car fare to get on the train. You know, we would just jump the turnstile or something.
Yeah, those were the days.
But you know, it was just the lifestyle of belonging to each other and having that sense of community with each other. It was just natural.
Right.
And so Cooley High definitely showcased that point of view. Hmm?
What was your first impressions of meeting Eric Monty? Because obviously he's a brilliant, brilliant writer.
You know something? When I met Eric the first time, I was on the set of Cooley High, and he came to Chicago where we were shooting, And, you know, I was a 21-year-old guy who was seriously the New York method actor guy.
Yes.
Then, so, you know, I kind of said, hey, how you doing? And just kept going to work. I didn't get to know Eric until after Cooley High, a couple of years later, and became a real great friend to this day and stuff like that. But I'm very impressed. Spent many, many, many hours with Eric and read, you know, many of his other scripts and things he's written.
Right.
And I've heard his head many times on what he feels about the world. He's a very political, involving kind of a guy. And so he's just clever, you know, and... You know, you become aware of things later on. When I had seen The Nine Lives of Fritz the Cat, which I had already seen before, I had no idea he had written, you know, and had done with the same producer, Steve Krantz, and ended up doing Cooley High and the other things he's done. He's just one of them special, special, you know, unsung heroes, man.
Yeah, we had Bernadette Stannis on our second episode of our radio show, and she absolutely was intimidated by him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And she's actually coming out of New York as well, and I know you're from...
I've known Bernadette since she was 16 years old, living in Brooklyn in the projects, man.
Right.
I've known her for forever. I used to, back in the day when she first started going to Juilliard, I used to help her learn Shakespeare and the whole nine yards.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I really know Bernadette very well. But, I mean, I can see why Eric can be that way. He's a little bit of a forceful guy and strongly opinionated about what he believes in and sometimes a little close-minded with it.
Right.
You know, but... I'm a New York dude. That doesn't shake me, man.
Nah, I know it takes a lot more to shake me, man. You can put
He's talking to himself when he's doing that.
So. Yeah, you can send me to the tombs upside down, and I'm gonna come back unscathed. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, man. You know we keep on strolling, man.
You know what? The one thing that bothers me about a lot of Hollywood when they don't get it, you and Glenn Turman, great chemistry, and you guys are finally doing something again, which I know you don't. We're not gonna be able to talk about. But why do you think that Hollywood just didn't keep you two together?
It's not that they didn't try. It's timing.
Okay.
You know, when they did a movie called The Minstrel Man, which Glenn wind up doing, they wanted me to do it, but I was doing Welcome Back, Kotter at the time. And but then they were real, real tight about allowing you to go out of your show to do other projects and stuff like that. So it didn't happen, you know. And Nancy Meyer, who's gone on to become prolific and all that, you know, stuff like had written a script that they wanted Glenn and I to do. And it was just always a matter of timing, man. It just didn't work out. You know, either we were committed to something else or that's just how it rolls. And so, that's showbiz, man. What can you say?
Yeah, you're actually scheduled to appear in Chicago at the WizardCon. How far do you are to look into the... Oh, I can't even talk
about
it.
It'll be fun. I mean, I love Chicago, you know, especially during the summer, man. It's just one pretty place to be. You know, that's Cooley High City there, man.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
The bananas there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so I really enjoy Chicago, and which I've been there, of course, a zillion and a half times and never get bored with it. And so I look forward to that. I look forward to that. It'll be not only a great weekend, you know, with meeting people and fans and so forth, but there's relations there, too, friends. I mean, I'm quite sure everybody from Cooley High who's in it will show up.
Right.
No doubt about that. From Sherman Smith on down to Corin Rogers. You know?
Oh, that would be awesome. Actually,
Jackie Taylor, everyone. They'll show up all, and I'll make sure they get there. I'll invite them all.
Now working with Garrett Morris, was he on Saturday Night Live at that point? Or
no, at that point, Garrett, myself, you know, this is just 5 seconds before he did Saturday Night Live and I did Welcome Back, Kotter, because they both started those shows the same year at the same time. So I had seen Garrett around New York a few times. In fact, when I was 18, Garrett Morris and Bill Duke directed me in my first play when I was a kid.
Wow, and for those
so
who don't know...
That goes back, and then we ended up doing the movie.
Okay.
And shortly after that, within 3 or 4 months, he got Saturday Night Live, I got Welcome Back, Kotter, and the rest is history.
Yeah, well, let's go to Welcome Back, Kotter. It's like, what is that experience for you to this day?
It's my family, you know. Yeah. I got lucky. Those guys are still my close friends till this day. Bobby, Ron, John, Gabe, Marsha. I've been talking to Marsha a lot lately, and we keep promising to get together for lunch, so that hasn't happened, but it will. But, you know, Welcome Back, Kotter was, again, it was, you know, getting paid to have fun.
Right.
You know, and we were silly, and we were all at the same, I mean, I just turned 21, and we're all in that, you know, young 20s age, and we were trying something. And then we were all like New York actors and stage actors, so we all would just think that, you know, you did a job, and you did the best you did, and then you moved on.
Right.
We had no idea what a TV show was or what a hit would be or the response, so that was a little... overwhelming. I can tell you an experience that happened is John Travolta and I used to hang out a lot at the farmer's market to eat because we're pigs.
Nice.
Okay, and we still are. But we would go there to eat, and after Kotter had come on, we went there one morning,
uh-huh.
And like on cue, it seemed like they told the whole place, get those guys.
What?
Robbed and converted, and we wind up running back to who was in John's car. We ran back to his car. But when we got into the car and we were driving away, John says, "Oh man, Larry, we're the Beatles, man." So, you know, that was the first experience of realizing how people react to that stuff. We had no idea.
Wow. So, and that was your first big experience as far as TV and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, in a sense. You know, with me, it's kind of strange how it all happened on top of each other. I had done a movie called Claudine, mm-hmm. then I did Cooley High, and then I did Welcome Back, Kotter. Mm-hmm. Back in that day, a movie could play in the theaters for 2 years.
Right.
So all of them were out at the same time.
Wow.
So everywhere you turn, you know, they're probably sick of seeing Lars Hilton Jacobs, but I was all over the place. And then when Kotter became popular, every magazine and their grandmother, you know, was interviewing us all the time. So we were just... I have a box full of stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of paraphernalia.
And what was your audition like for Welcome Back, Kotter?
Trippy, you know, because, again, we were the serious New York actors. They put Welcome Back, Kotter out about a year or so ago on DVD, and they put the original screen test of all of us.
Really?
And if you look in there, you can see we were a little extra serious playing the parts. We could be funny, but we learned to be sillier as the show went on, or be looser.
Right.
But in the audition, I was a hardcore little New York guy and taking no prisoners and... And, you know, I weighed about the size of dental floss with a big afro.
Right.
I mean, I was beyond thin, man. I even felt sorry for me.
That's
but that audition
funny.
was interesting. I mean, it was a lot of auditions. I actually came to Los Angeles to screen test for the movie Sparkle.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get it. Gave it to Philip Thomas, but he's my buddy. I'm not going to be mad at that. But I never will. I don't trip that nonsense.
Right.
But the Welcome Back, Kotter auditions came up, and John and I had the same agents. So they kept pairing us together somehow in the auditions. And so maybe that's part of the chemistry that clicked. Because whenever we auditioned, they always had us together, and they had different guys playing Horshack or Epstein. But it was a lot of auditions. That was like 10 auditions.
Wow.
It was nuts.
But it was always you playing the same role.
I was always playing Washington. They always had John playing Barbarino. Bobby Hedges originally came up for the part of Barbarino. And Ray Sharkey was up for Epstein and was real close to getting it,
mm-hmm.
but they liked Bobby so much, they changed the part to make him the Puerto Rican Jew guy because they just wanted him in the show. So that's how that worked out.
Just to wrap up Cooley High, we had Ernest on the phone on the show, of course,
mm-hmm.
and what's happening, which a lot of people don't know, was based on Cooley High.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And Ernest had said that the original, you know, he went out and did the original pilot in Chicago. And
they had done a pilot before that was set in, you know, Dorian Harewood played Cochise and Ernest played the Glenn Part Preach.
Right.
And so forth. And this guy Reno out of New York played Pooter. And they had done a pilot, and that didn't fly,
right.
You know, for them. They
right.
Doing the old Cooley High thing. But they converted it into what's happening, and they kept Ernest, and it went on.
Yeah, and again, a lot of, just from acting, a lot of Roger Thomas, you know, it was, you know, Glenn Turman's character.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was Eric Monte. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't know this. Cooley High is a true story.
Oh.
And it's Eric Monte's life, and Eric Monte was Preacher, but they used to call him Reverend.
The
character Cochise was called Genghis, like Genghis Khan.
Right.
But they changed it for the movies. And even the character of Jimmy Lee, the pimp guy in the movie, was actually Cochise's brother. But the real guy was alive and in jail at the time, so they got afraid that they might get some, you know, suit or something.
Right.
So he all of a sudden, there's a line in a bar scene where you see me come up and I said, "Have you seen my buddy, Jimmy Lee?" But I redubbed it because actually I said, "Have you seen my brother, Jimmy Lee?" So they, you know, that's where the auspice of where that all springboarded from. It was a true story out of Eric's life, and so Glenn became Preacher and Raj became Preacher. And
right, right. Well, as far as you know, so Genghis was actually killed back in the late '60s, early
'70s. The guy, he was knifed.
Oh, he was knifed.
He was knifed on Division Street, which is where Cooley High was.
Okay.
And so he got, you know, taken out that way, which is a drag. You know, not the way we portrayed it in the movie, where I just got. You know, concussion. And
did they ever find the killers?
I really don't know that history of it.
Okay.
You know, I understand that they went down with it. I think it was there were really hardcore street gangs back then. And
oh,
turf
yeah.
wars were really you know, if you walked on my block, you had to, you know, walk with a certain respect or you get your butt kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was in the early '60s. I remember that even in New York. You know, when you walked on certain blocks, there was the Kings and the Lords and all of those, you know, groups around it.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I'm not boasting my own tune, man, but I could give a you know, about any of that nonsense.
Right.
I'm never afraid. I'm still not.
No, you're not supposed to be.
Dealt with me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't mess with you.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I had my boys, man, and we just had sort of a silent respect that you just didn't mess with us, so we didn't mess with you, you know?
What year did you actually come out to Hollywood?
I came out in 75. The first time I came out was in January of 75, and that was to screen test for the Sparkle movie. And then stayed around because the Cotter auditions came up at the time. But it was called Cotter. And at the time, Kojak was on TV, so I thought it was a cop show.
Okay.
Oh, Cotter, okay, another cop show.
Right, right,
and
right.
And then I went off and we did the auditions, you know, a million times. Then I went back on the plane, and something instinctually, I don't know, sometimes you just know these things. I was riding on the plane on a Sunday night on the red eye, and I said, you know something, Larry, you better learn these lines. Just learn them. So right. I started studying the lines, you know, on the plane going back. I arrived about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, New York time. Got home at about 9:30, quarter to 10. They called me up and asked me to come in at 11 a.m. in New York City to screen test. Same day.
Wow.
Wow.
Same day, but I was ready, you know.
Yeah. You said you were definitely ready.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just washed my face and, you know, and picked the afro out, man, and went for it.
Just jumped into it both feet.
Oh, yeah, man. That's when I first met Ron. Ron was doing Hot O Baltimore off Broadway, and he was he was real serious and very shy at the time, Ron Palillo.
Yeah, well, watching him in Celebrity Boxing, I was like, what is he doing?
Losing his mind.
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you actually get started on the stage with your acting?
Did I start on stage, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of stage in New York City. I studied with the Negro Ensemble Company in the Village. I studied with the Alfan Theatrical Ensemble up in Harlem. I worked with Woody King at the New Federal Theater, who's still my friend to this day. Woody King was one of the most prolific, foremost black producers of theater in history, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so he became a great lifelong friend as well. And, yeah, you know, I did every kind of thing from children's theater to street theater to off-Broadway to off-Broadway.
Yeah.
Right.
So off-Broadway, man, that, you know, we would outnumber the audience sometimes.
Right.
I remember actually doing a stage production where we did it for just one person. But one person brought in three other people.
Oh, see, hey, man, you had a crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
You had an audience, man. And, you know, I mean, an audience, as you well know, as you've got the experience, it feels better when there's an audience there.
Yes.
But you do the show.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, we went ahead and did it, and that's when she just...
hit it or quit it, man.
Yeah,
keep
exactly.
Forward.
Now, did you know when you were in high school that you wanted to do acting?
Yeah, I probably wanted to act all my life, you know, and stuff. I always said that I think I probably had some producer in me when I was a kid, because when I was a kid growing up in the projects in New York, I used to put on shows, you know, in my mother's apartment and using the closet for a stage with a curtain, and I would charge everybody a penny. Now, back then, you can get two or three candies for a penny, so if I made 15 cents, I was rich. And so I was always doing it, and I was into ventriloquist dolls with Jerry Mahoney and all that stuff back in the day, and I was putting on shows, puppet shows at my elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they did plays, like Peter and the Wolf and all these plays we would do, somehow I was ended up getting the lead.
Oh, nice.
You know, I mean, I was a kid, you know, I was a little, you know, 10-year-old, whatever I was, but I was always into it in that sense, but didn't really start making any moves towards it until I was about 14.
Uh-huh.
Not clear, you know, got signed with a company called Romy Management. They did nothing. It was a waste.
Uh-huh.
But I just started getting the backstage and the show business trade papers, and I just started auditioning and trying out for things and ended up, you know, doing some little raggedy plays at the YMCA and wherever.
Right.
But was finding my experience.
Wow.
That's good.
Did a lot of extras. My first year and a half of the business was just background work.
Now going back to Claudine for a minute, you got a real. I got a chance to work with Diane Carroll, who's a great actress.
Oh yeah.
Did you get a chance to pick her brain or talk to her about other stuff?
I pick her brain still to this day.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. That's great.
Diane is, you know, I tell you how nice Diane is, and James Earl Jones. You know, I had written a script about a year ago that I wanted to try to turn into a television movie, and I wrote it with Diane. I ran into Diane one day on her birthday, and she told me, you know, what was going on. So I just wrote this thing, and I gave it to she to read, and I gave it to James Earl. And they both graciously read it, and they were so respectful and so nice about it. That's how Diane is till this day. She's
wow.
a good lady who's from Harlem. She never forgot those roots.
Right.
Of course, still drop-dead gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
In it.
Oh, yeah.
She ages well.
You know, and she's just a very real person who's really enjoying her life now with her grandchildren. You know, and her daughter is married, living in London now with her husband, who's a commercial director, and I keep up with everybody. I try to, you know?
Now, again, you are a very serious method actor, and just your presence alone, you know, told me that right off the bat. How did you develop, like, character acting?
You know something? You can't take yourself too serious.
Okay.
You know, to me, you do the work, you know, and there's a process to anything, and so there's a progression of how you come to a role. But I mean, even like when I was doing the Jacksons movie, where everybody says, "Man, you were so intense, and you were beating the kids all the time," and I said, "No, it was all impression." I said, "You saw me hit the kids once in the movie,
mm-hmm.
but the
right.
rest of the time you thought it was there." I said, "But if you would have seen me in between the takes, I was the silliest guy cracking up the worst jokes that ever invented. That's just me."
Really?
You know, you have to loosen it up for my take, and so forth like that, so you can have a balance and go home and go have a life. You know, go home to your lady or your guy or whatever you're into and your kids, and then, you know, go out and go, you know, take a walk over the cracks in the sidewalk or the dog mess or something.
Right.
Go to real life, you know.
Well, just to clear the air, and again, I one of the main reasons I hadn't and it sounds like a retarded reason, but one of the first reasons I didn't approach you about coming on the show was that horrible YouTube interview you did at that one of the only two signings that you've actually done.
You know something? Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember because when you do these interviews so many times, you kind of forget.
Well, you were trying to eat.
You know what that was? I had done a play. I had on a white hat,
white,
I think.
White Kangol.
Right. I had actually done a play 2 or 3 years ago, and I was up in Sacramento on the road. And, you know, after we finished the show, they would have dinner for us. So, okay, I was going to have dinner. I had no idea I was going to be interviewed.
Oh.
So some guy just threw a camera in front of me, so I just said, well, let me go for it. You know, if I say no, that's going to make it even worse. I said,
right.
Let me just do it. But, I mean, I was really trying to hog that food because I was beyond starving. Talk about the epitome of a starving actor. That was me, man.
Right, right. I thought it was great. The kid was like, oh. Like he didn't even realize he was interrupting you. You know what I mean?
You know something, you know, there's two ways to look at things to me. We can trip or we can not trip.
Right.
Life is choices, and I really mean that and believe that without being corny. And so, you know, in the moment I just said, hey, this guy's just trying to do his thing.
Right.
And we're up in Sacramento, and that might have been a big deal to them. And I said, you know, what is it going to take me? To take one extra less bite of my fried chicken, I'll live.
Oh, I know. But, and again, you were gracious enough to come on our show. Going back to Welcome Back Carter, Gabe Kaplan, who probably plays one of the best Groucho Marx impressions.
He was special in that interview.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I saw the one-man show he had done.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
incredible.
Yeah.
When he held up on his contract, did the cast kind of panic a little bit?
Nobody panicked ever. You know, these things are a moment to moment. You know, I can just give you an example of when I came back after the it was the third year of the show, and we have a 4-year hiatus in between. So I come back and I walked in, and I was the only person there besides Johnny White, who played the principal. There was no Gabe, no Bobby, no Ron, no John, and I was like, "What's going on?" And everybody was holding out for different reasons or tripping and all of that bull. You know, nonsense. And my attitude is like, you know, come on, man. It's a gig.
Right.
You know, you do your gig, you hit it, and you quit it, and go have a life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't trip on those things when people start to say, well, your show may be slipping in the ratings, or it looks like it's going to be canceled. I didn't even wait. I'll tell you how nervy I was. I signed up to do a Broadway play. I Love My Wife on Broadway.
Okay.
You know, and I was performing it on Broadway, knowing that I had to come back to Welcome Back Carter in July, and I had a contract going until September. And I just felt the show was not going to come back. But let's say that it did come back. I think you'd have been talking to me from jail probably right now.
Right?
I'd have been sued to the left and right. But, you know, and I'll tell you how there's no ceremony in it. The way I found out we were canceled, while we were doing the play, I'm in New York, and I took a lunch break, I was just casually reading the Daily News, as I grew up reading, and I read through the entertainment section, and they talk about cancellations. It says, oh, cancellations on ABC, Starsky and Hutch, Charlie's Angels, Welcome Back, Carter. I was like, whoa.
It's like, where was my phone call?
Where? And I'm still waiting for that phone call.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Jacobs?
Yes, sir.
By the way. Yeah, we're thinking about canceling Welcome Back, Carter.
30 years later.
Yeah. We're just thinking about it, though. Don't panic. You know?
Yeah, man.
That's so funny.
So, you know, with those kind of experiences, it tells me that, hey, man, nothing is promised. And
right.
The reason show business continues is definitely you want to get people fun and entertained. But it's a game. It's a business. And they're trying to make a profit.
Right.
And when it's time to move on, you got to cut the losses and keep strolling, man.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, I mean, that's for kids. You know, we're not kids. You know,
right.
I talked to even when I've been a director now for a number of years and a writer. And when I sometimes go off and do speeches on it and things like this, I talk very straight to the young people or the students. And I don't give them any, you know, bull stories. I said, look, it's dog eats dog.
Right.
You know, and that's just the way it is. I said, the fun out of it is when you get into past the process and you can go do the work. You know, and I said, you come up with those fruits. I said, and just enjoy it. But go have a life, man.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, go do something, man. Go take a walk or go eat that extra ice cream and that hamburger if you got to have it, you know.
So you actually do some coaching now as well?
Not as much as I used to. I've done it off and on for many, many years. I was even taught acting in New York for a while with my friend Adam Wade. He had a workshop. was an actor and a singer. And so I taught there. And the way I've done it out here in L.A. sometimes is I do it on an individual basis. If somebody really wants to help, it's my pleasure to do it. You know, I don't mind. I've helped many actors try to get auditions together. Or it's kind of funny. I was working on a TV show about a month ago called Chuck, and the I'm playing an African president in this area, kind of a guy.
Uh-huh.
And these five guys were playing my bodyguards, man. They were like my students because they were drilling me all day with questions. All day. You know, and we were there for like, that was a long, like 16-hour day, but I didn't mind because I understood. You know, you have those eager minds and that interest and you want to hear the truth and sometimes the fairy tales. And
right.
You know, I didn't give them the fairy tales, but
right. But it's always nice to give back in that way.
You give back, and also it's a thing that sometimes actors can be a little casual about how they have to get the information together. At the same time, by those guys being adhering to me, that also added to what they had to play when we had to shoot.
Uh-huh.
So it worked out both ways. You know, they were getting something out of it, and I was getting something out of them. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Now
so, I don't mind.
Now going into the Jackson Five, it's so funny because. Out of everybody on the American, it was the American Dream, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You were the only one that was actually signed to Motown.
No, I never was signed to Motown.
Oh, you weren't signed to Motown?
No, I was signed to ABC Records.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But the Motown correlation in that is that I had Lamont Dozier
right.
be the producer on the first album, and he was a Motown alumni, innovator, the whole thing from the Holland Dozier Holland days and all those hits with everybody he's gotten.
Now, did ABC come to you?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I had done a live show for ABC. The whole cast of Cotter had done it at a hotel, and they had a little moment where I just sang a couple of, bars of something, and somebody from ABC Records just walked up to me and offered me a recording contract.
Just handed it to you, be like, hey, man.
Sound like out of Hollywood, ta-da.
Right.
So when I went in to meet with the guy Larry Cohen, who was the president of the ABC at the time, he just happened to have a piano in his office. And he had no idea. And he was going to tell me all the wonderful, things he was going to do. And I just sat down and played and just started singing in front of him. I just wanted to let him know I really do it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how that kind of begat itself. Hmm?
Now, you've done acting. You've done recording. Are you going to write a book? Have you been prompted to write a book?
I have one friend, a buddy, Stan Foster, who's been severe, saying, hey, you should write a book about show business. All this stuff, this and that, and so forth.
You
and
should.
Man, that sounds like memoirs, man. It sounds like... It's like getting a lifetime achievement award. They must think you're going to die next week or something.
Oh, no.
It's like, go write your memoir books. You're done.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe one day I might do that. That doesn't interest me. I enjoy writing screenplays. I like directing. I certainly love acting. I'll never stop doing that. I like all those facets of being creative and artistic.
Right.
To sit down and write a book, everybody does that, it seems like, and I've been told somebody, well, your point of view is your point of view. I say, yeah, but,
I think it's something that actually needs to be done when you feel the need
feel it,
to
be, man.
Yeah, you feel the need to actually tell your story and get it out there.
Maybe I'll sit down one day and somebody will, want to sit down and listen to me blab and record it all and stuff like that, and we'll, get a book out of it, who knows.
I'd like to see that. What's so funny? Meryl and I were talking last night. A lot of people... Who were we talking about wasn't getting residuals to something?
Excuse me?
No.
Like Mark Goddard.
Mark Goddard from Lost in Space.
Lost in Space, huh?
Yeah, we had him on last night, and again, he was reading from his book, and he literally, ended up moving back to his mother's house at the age of 50, broke, and he was in like every TV series on the planet. And we were like, and she was explaining to me that a lot of the older series is you don't get residuals when the DVD sales come out. How did you set things up for Welcome Back, Carter, when he came out on DVD?
You have to be, tough.
Okay.
That's how it goes. You be straight up. A lot of people got screwed like that because they were thinking they were going to bite the hand that feeds them, or they don't want to create waves and all that baloney, and I'm not with that.
Right.
It's a business, and the reason that they're out there, at the bottom line, is they're trying to make a profit. The producers get theirs, the advertisers pay them the fees, and I know what comes out of it. I know the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't play that, that shy nonsense or get afraid. And I'm not, egotistical with it to the point where I'm saying, you kiss my butt. No, I'm saying, look, this is the deal. We're all here to try to make it work. Let's work it out.
Right, right.
And so forth. And so we were even able to renegotiate our deals in the second year Cotter. So we were able to really, accelerate our salaries and to guarantee that we would get so many residual runs down the line for ourselves because they didn't want to pay us the money.
Right.
So, but later on, it wound up we got it anyway, through the residuals. You have to make those deals.
Yeah.
And you have to stay adhering to them, and you have to be foreseeing when there's nothing to foresee.
Right. Well, and I think that was probably the problem with shows like Lost in Space, which was way before even that time. They didn't foresee.
No, people just thought, you know, they did a show, and you get the security of doing it, and you make it a couple of bucks, and you think it's going to go on forever.
Right.
And with no ceremony, your show is over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, my God, what do I do? Well, I've got enough bucks I can rattle for that. Well, a few years of that, that's gone. And nobody's breaking their neck to try to put you into the next program.
Right.
But I believe that you should diversify yourself and go act in other things and do a theater. Or go, like I said, go have a life. Have something else that you may want to do that you can counterbalance it with.
Right.
You know, with me, it happens to be music and directing and all this, but it's all part of the same game to me. It's all part of the arts.
Right.
And that's all a hustle in itself, too. That's not falling down like the door with floodgates is opening, but you have to make it happen.
Right.
Right.
You know? And like I said, I got a couple of granddaughters, man. I just was with them yesterday, and my big thing yesterday was helping them clean their room.
Oh, wow.
Now, what a job that was, man.
Are either of them interested in the entertainment field?
You know, they play with the idea of it with me sometimes, and, you know, and their mom, who's my stepdaughter, you know, tries to encourage that. But a lot of times I say, let them be kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're little girls, you know, they're pretty as ever and all that stuff, but so what? You know, that's what they happen to look like, and that's genetics. That's not talent.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I said, let them be kids, you know, and at some point, if they really start to sweat me on it, then, you know. I mean, I took them on a film set a few weeks ago. A friend of mine was directing a music video, and they had never been on a film set, and I definitely saw the eyes light up
uh-huh.
when they were there.
Uh-oh.
They didn't want to leave. I was like,
they got the fever. Not the fever. You know,
they've been sweating me something. They said, Papa, you know, can we be in one of your movies? I'm like, here it comes.
There you go. You've opened up the box.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, no. Now, we know Hollywood's got a very bad habit of regurgitating films.
Oh, yeah. You know, with the kids, you know, I say, let them be kids and let them have a life. And what I'll do with the kids is I'll probably have them do some extras here and there and stuff like that and let them get to see themselves on the tube and, you know, or in the movies, whatever, and they, you mm-hmm. know, get a thrill out of that.
Right.
But mostly it's, you know, the important thing right now is to get your education tight.
Right.
To absolutely have respect. I do not play that game at all.
Yes.
Right.
Respect is top shelf.
No, absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
That's where we come from. You know, etiquette, respect, and you know, have some ethics, man. You know, they got to know their boundaries. So all kids have to have that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and show business can be a distracting thing. Also, it can be a poisoning thing sometimes if you don't direct it right, because you get false securities. You're making a couple of bucks, you know, you're some little young kid, but you're making $5,000 a week.
Right.
So you think you can buy the world, and in your world, you think you can, you
mm-hmm.
know, but that's not reality.
No, it really isn't. So recently, your buddy, John Travolta, has again planted his seed and is expecting another child. Have you reached out for him at all lately?
I haven't talked to John in a while, and I certainly tried to reach out to them when he lost his son.
Yeah, Jet.
You know,
yeah.
That hurt us all, and you know, I talked to some of the other guys, and you know, I sent my condolences to him through his family and all that.
And
you know, I mean, you know, nobody wants to lose a child.
No,
you know, that's beyond devastating.
Right,
you know, your kids are ultra you.
Right,
you know, and it's like you died twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to make another baby, you know, it's fine and stuff like that. And I wish him the best, you know, and he'll do the best. But you know, these things happen, man. You got to roll with it.
Well, you were actually there for him when he lost his girlfriend during the.
Oh, sure.
You know, in the
sure.
set.
I knew Diana quite well. We used to double date a lot, so I was around a lot. Or her son Zach when he was a little guy.
Right.
You know, he's a grown man now, and you know, and it was amazing to even see Diana with John, who was 22 at the time, and she was about 41-ish or something.
Right. Right.
But I believed it.
It's just sad, man, having to deal with certain death. And I know those two absolutely. I mean, just from what you could tell from the reading, that those two absolutely loved each other.
It was no faking it at all. They really were into it, man. And it was just great to see them together because, like I said, there was no faking in the funk there. It was just real deal.
You know, and that only comes around maybe once or twice in a lifetime. You know,
if you're lucky, it comes around once.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. If.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to add to all this?
Add to all this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's get a bologna sandwich.
Let's go get a bologna sandwich.
Actually, you know what? I wanna talk on the Jackson 5
oh,
film
you did?
That
okay.
you did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was that experience like for you? And you know, playing someone who was living and playing a huge family.
You know how
family.
It was in the beginning of it? You know, I knew Joe and the family for years. I knew them very well. Even back in the day, a couple of times I dated LaToya. Get ready for that one.
What?
This is when I was like around 23 and she was 21 or something.
Oh,
you know,
player.
And we went out a couple of times, and that was, a dud, but anyway. You know, but that's, so I knew the family from a long time, so
okay.
Me ending up to play the father, I think, was a little unnerving for them. Because uh-huh. Even on a lot of Joe Jackson's, he had a management group, and I used to play the demos for him a lot, the music stuff like that. So I was around all the time.
Wow.
You know, and so, okay, that was that part. When I finally got the part, I went down in Pittsburgh for the first 5 weeks filming.
Okay.
We kept hearing every day, Catherine and Joe are going to show up on the set. Catherine and Joe are going to show up on the set.
Right.
And we started getting nervous.
Uh-huh.
You know, but by the time they showed up, 2 or 3 weeks later, we were so involved in learning all those lines and work.
Right.
That we just couldn't, you know, let that get in the way. It just didn't. The only time it happened is when we did the scene in the burn center when Michael was older and he got burned.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it was myself and Angela and Wiley who played Michael. And Catherine, we didn't know she was coming that day. The real Catherine came on the set. And she's 5 feet away next to the camera watching us play this scene that only she and her husband really knew what went in it.
Wow.
Right, right.
So we were a little unnerved. And I noticed that Angela was nervous and I was a little out there and Wiley was. And I just pulled everybody to the side and I said, we're all shaky, aren't we? And everybody admitted. I said, you know something? Let's just use that energy.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Let's just use that energy. And, you know, we just went for it. So, you know, it's a strange thing to play somebody's life that's really living and you have right. your ideas of what it's about. Trying to talk to them about that, you know, during the movie was a little strenuous sometimes because they really wouldn't give up any information.
Oh.
They would pull me up to the side. Reeby would say something to me or Catherine or Tito or whoever.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you just have to eventually just tighten up and say, look, let me go for what I think is instinctual
right.
based on the script. And I'm giving an impression or an interpretation of.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they're all very complimentary. I mean, everyone outside of Michael and LaToya came to that set from Janet on down, you know. And so it was very encouraging to see them come around. And I think they were kind of getting off on us, watching us play. I remember one day I was shooting at their house out in Encino, and Randy came up to me. He looked at me, and I was in the makeup with the afro and the whole nine. And he said, damn, you look too much like my father.
Wow.
It was a strange kind of a compliment, but but I got it. A taller version of his father.
So he probably had a flashback at that moment.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I mean, they're a real tight-knit family. And
yeah.
Like any of the tight-knit family, you know, there's always going to be those conflicts of differences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're music royalty. You
yes.
can't take that away.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and they have a lot to live up to and a lot to try to understand. You know, you're living in a fishbowl when you get any kind of 5 seconds of fame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when you get it to... I mean, I can get it to the point where I cannot even take it sometimes. But people like Michael Jackson get it 150 times even more.
Right.
You know, so, wow, this is how they lived since they were kids.
Right.
You know, it gets real, real different. You know, when you just want to go to the grocery store to go get a container of milk, and that's an event, it seems like, because everybody is just showing up.
Right. Yeah. And I know you still get that today. I saw you down at Leo Remy's. Are a lot of people just like, oh, my God, I loved you growing up? I mean, do you get a break?
You know, something you have to just roll with it.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, you're going to go bananas. You know, when I first did Welcome at Cotton, and, you know, I wasn't used to it at all, you know, and so people were just staring at me, and I would stare at them so hard to make sure that they wouldn't recognize me. Of course they're looking at me.
That can't be him. That can't be
him. You know, this is how silly you get. And then I started to chill out after a while, and I just said, you know, what are you going to do? I can tell you a little quick thing. You know, a couple of months ago, I had the babies out with me, and we were eating at a restaurant, a sidewalk restaurant.
Okay.
And TMZ came up from nowhere.
Oh, no.
Good
and
God.
They pulled the camera. And before the guy could get the camera on, I grabbed it from him.
Did you really?
You know, and he got all unnerved, and I said, let me tell you this. I said, I'm going to tell you this once.
Right.
You don't shoot my babies.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I said, do we have that understanding? I said, we're going to be cool, man. I said, but you didn't ask me.
Right.
Said, we don't shoot the kids.
You know what? And again, that all goes stems back to respect.
That's right, man.
I don't. I called you and asked you. You know, if you could please, you know, do the show.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know.
No, absolutely. I don't. You know, I believe. And again, when Marilyn and I go and do these conventions, we're actually scheduled to do 12 of them. I see a lot of these just kids that went to B&H in the city and bought a camera and just want to do like jump outs on people. I think TMZ, you know, is hurting a lot of credible, you know, media people. I think a lot of these fanboys that just went out and bought a $30,000 camera thinks that they can direct or thinks that they can shoot.
Right, they're a filmmaker. Sure, you know, or they got the just rights.
You know,
I mean, there's time and place, you know. If they're going to be shooting me and this and that and so forth, well, there's not a whole lot I can do about that. But
right.
There's certain parameters. You know, my private life is mine.
Absolutely.
You know, and so even with, like, when people want to do interviews and stuff like that and they want to come to my home, I said, no, no, thank you. We can do the interview, but not there.
Right.
And they said, why? I said, because that's where I live.
Uh-huh. Right. I don't go to your house and be like,
that's
hey,
my
man.
Home.
Right.
You know, and it's a rare person that have come to my house to interview me, and only because I know them.
Right. Uh-huh.
If I know them really well and I feel it's a trust factor, then they're not going to go over and say, oh, man, look what he has here or whatever. Damn. And, you know, that's just that's my private domain. I just don't, you know, that's my space.
Right.
And my life, you know, who's in my life, who's my lady or children and all that stuff. And if you know, you know. But, you know, they don't need to know every one of my brothers and sisters' names. I mean, come on.
And again, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have a lot of them. I got,
holy cow.
And five brothers.
That is.
That's a big family. And everybody's tall.
Everybody is tall. Wow. That is so funny.
Yeah, and everybody is short in my family.
Oh, well, you know, we worked it out. we can meet and we can balance it out.
You know what? I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today.
Absolutely, man.
And yes. Again,
thank you.
I'm so looking forward to traveling with you to Chicago. I think we're going to have a really good time
It'll
out there.
It'll be terrific, you know, and San Diego.
Hmm? And, oh, that's right. We're going to be in San Diego at
San
the Comic-Con.
There.
That's right.
And so, you know, that'll be cool, you know, and I know Chicago will be fun and whatnot, you know. I think I might drag one of my brothers there from New York with me.
Okay, good.
Talk to him about it. He may come.
He's more than welcome. Mm-hmm. Anybody you want to bring, you're more than welcome to bring.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that.
Yep, they go to wizardworld.com.
You guys are cool. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. We'd like to actually have lunch with you next week.
Well, I get hungry all the time, so.
Oh, okay, so we don't have to wait till next week.
All the time. I get hungry every day. It's a bad habit of mine.
Oh. So, well, do you have any projects coming out? I know you got the thing with Glenn Turman. You're not in a position to talk about that right now.
We're DEFCO's at planning, and we're begging for the budgets right now. So we're going through those changes.
Okay.
You know, but, the last thing I did was just on television last week. It was Chuck, you know, this TV show Chuck. And
yep.
Played this African president guy.
That's good.
So that's it for the minute. And the rest is, you know, out on the hustle. Hmm?
Amen to that.
Yeah, we know about that.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
Thank you
and
so
I'll definitely
much.
Get to catch up with you, and I'll definitely see you before we go to San Diego.
You got it. Both of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
How great was that?
That was really good. I'm loving this. We're just really meeting some really cool people.
I'm trying to tell you. We haven't had like a dick on the show yet. I want to hear somebody be like, it ain't him.
Nope.
It's definitely not Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs, I got to thank you again for coming on the show. We will be back. I'm going to take you out here with some Jackson 5. And again, thank you to Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. Thank you so much for doing the show with me.
No, thank you.
No, thank
seriously.
You.
For even allowing me to do it with you.
Oh, poop in the pants. We'll be back.
Thank you.